and greenhouse crops, and we can use these technologies to increase our export. This is one side of the story.
In other words, you're saying that China was successful in creating new agricultural technologies to increase their own food supply, and we can learn from that, apply it here in Iran, and then use that to export it back.
For example, now we are importing rice in addition to our domestic production, because given our limited agricultural lands, we cannot meet our needs. There in China, however, in an area that is one-tenth of ours, with the irrigation method that consumes one-tenth of ours, they produce 10 times more. Well, by doing this, in fact, we are increasing the product 10 times and reducing our water consumption 10 times. Well, that is a good leap. We can cooperate in greenhouse and technological projects. During President Raisi's recent visit to China, this issue was emphasized, and the Honorable Minister of Agriculture had his own special meetings. So we found a market. The African market is another example. The markets of Africa and our neighboring countries are noteworthy. In the current 13th administration, the president's emphasis was first on the neighboring countries, African countries, and Latin American countries. In addition, we are at a very high level in IT, nanotechnology, and biotechnology. We're also good at cognitive technology, but not as much. As a result of these, we are successful in the pharmaceutical sector, in the medical equipment sector, and in the nano industry sector. You are aware that a normal object will be twice as resistant with a nano coating. Well, twice is not a small number. For example, the tractor parts that we are making in Tabriz are now nano coated. And now countries like Belarus demand to buy these products. Now, our tractor factory is currently exporting not only to African countries, but to Russia. Their representatives have also come to Iran and have been trained. The same is true in automobile manufacturing industry.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Until the next time, on Insight.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode. Dear listeners, let's listen to the verse of 197, 198th, and also 199th verses of this chapter.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةً أَنْ يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ.
And has it not been a sign to them that it is recognized by the scholars of the children of Israel?
وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ.
And even if we had revealed it to one among the foreigners, and he had recited it to them perfectly, they would still not have been believers in it.
أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةً أَنْ يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Is it not a sign to them that the learned of the children of Israel know it? وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ. And if we had sent it down to any of the non-Arabs, فَقَرَأُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and he had recited it to them, مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ, they would not have believed in it. So, this beginning verse shows that in this part of the concept of the descent of the verses of the Holy Qur'an, this issue that the children of Israel know it is so clear and so known that there is no room for any denial of the rightfulness of the call of the Holy Quran. In chapter Baqarah, the 89th verse says, when there came to them a book from Allah, confirming what was with them, and from before, they had been praying for victory over those who rejected the truth. When there came to them that which they recognized to be true, they disbelieved in it. All of these facts and other verses of the Holy Quran, as well as the other traditions, are all clear evidences to the veracity of this statement of the Holy Quran and the fact that its call is rightful and it is true.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So, in the beginning of this part The Holy Quran says that this has to be a sign to them, but they do not believe. وَلَوْ نَزَّلَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ This verse somehow implies that if the Holy Quran was sent down onto someone who was not Arab, and he recited it to Arabs, they would not believe in it. They would restrained to follow it. But Allah sent the Quran down in the clear Arabic language, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ, in the most eloquent one of them, who was from the noblest family among them, in order that they would ponder, in order that they confirm it and follow it better. So the verse says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ If we had sent it down to any of the non-Arabs, فَقَرَأَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ And he had recited it to them, مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ They would not have believed in it. It was also formerly said that the Arabic word Arabi in context means a person who is from the Arab generation. Sometimes it means eloquent speech, but here it means A'jamin means the someone who is not Arab. The Arabic word A'jami is in contrast with the word Arabi, and it has two meanings. The first is a non-Arab person, and the second is a kind of speech which is not eloquent. And in this mentioned verse, both of them are probable, but it mostly seems that it refers to the first meaning, which is someone who is not from the Arab land. So this verse means that their tribal prejudice is so violent that if the Quran were sent down to a non-Arab, the waves of the bigotries would hinder them to accept it. Now that it has been sent to the honorable man from among them, who is from the noblest families among them, who is also Arab, who speaks Arabic language, and its glad tidings has been mentioned in the former divine books, and the learned ones of the children of Israel have testified it too, many of them yet did not believe, let alone if their prophet had not such conditions at all. That's why the Holy Quran says, مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ They would not have believed in it. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion from Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Ali Alavian. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother, and Brother Ali Alavian. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother, too.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
So, since we are in the blessed month of Sha'ban, and we have many happy occasions, including the blessed birthday anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallah, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, and I, Atta, decided to dedicate this series of the program Viewpoints to the main responsibilities and the duties of the awaiters of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallah. Brother Ali Alavian, let's start with you, brother. So we are passing life in the major occultation, and some people who call themselves the true followers of the last Imam of the Shias are waiting for his reappearance. May Allah, of course, hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. But there are certain features and responsibilities considered for these awaiters. What are they exactly, and why at all the waiting, this waiting system itself, is significant in the Shia theology?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. First, we need to understand what this concept is, and then, inshallah, we shall work on the characteristics and features of those who are going to be known as the awaiters of the last Savior. The concept of arrival of the last Savior or Imam of the age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, has been among the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam from the time of right after the imamate of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that is in 256. Yeah.
Okay.
So what does it mean? We mean that we need to be a waiter of a person who will bring justice and tranquility to the world. And he is the promised person, the promised imam who is going to save the humanity.
That's right.
So for this important concept, it requires to feel a sort of readiness for that great event to come. So we need to prepare ourselves first. We need to know about this event first, to know about the Imam himself first, to increase our knowledge, our ma'rifah, or understanding of the event itself and then the Imam.
One of our Christian brothers said in the Mahdaviya conference, which was held in Qom, this waiting itself is a kind of last hope in today's world,
which is
full of, we can't say, oppression, tyranny, and so many problems around us. So the mere hope of waiting for someone who come and save the world is itself, we can't say, a ray of light.
Very
it was resembling it.
Very true.
Okay.
Because this hope itself invigorates human beings,
yes.
Human being itself.
Spiritually speaking.
Yes. And then actually it prevents you from a morale of futility, a feeling of loss. And this hope itself is actually constructive in
That's
itself.
Right.
I was saying that we need to increase our ma'rifah, our knowledge to Imam himself, to this concept.
Mm-hmm.
As we have in hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرَفْ إِمَامَ الزَّمَانِ مَاتَ مِتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً.
That's right.
In case a person passes away and he does not know his Imam, the proof of God on the earth, it is as if he has passed away as a person died in the time of ignorance.
So, that's right.
So what should we know? What do we need to know about the Imam? That this Imam actually is in the exact lineage of the Holy Prophet. He's going to continue the same line. Actually, he's going to implement the rules and regulations of Islam as it was actually prescribed by the Holy Prophet. And he actually needs some followers, some companions to help him in the time that he arrives. So these are the things that we need to ponder, to about and to know what this concept of intidhar or expectation of the last savior mean.
Of course, I think that this preparation of the followers is not only limited to the time of the reappearance of the Imam, but now in the major occultation, our duties are heavier.
So this is what we actually talking. Yes. We are talking about. We need to bring this sense of preparation in ourselves before he arrives. I'm talking about increasing our ma'rifah, our knowledge, it means the time that we are actually in.
Okay.
We need to actually increase our ma'rifah to know what this great event is.
That's all right. Okay, thank you. Brother Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, in many books and in the world of literature, they resemble Imam al-Mahdi to sun behind the cloud. I mean, he is a sun behind the cloud. I mean, resembling it to the major occultation. The ray is over there, the light is over there, we can say the warmth is over there. He has his own, we can say, samarat or effects and influences on our lives. And the people who are awaiting for the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi for sure must, take some benefit from this sun behind the cloud. Now my question is this, who are these awaiters? I mean, all the people can be considered the awaiters for Imam al-Mahdi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, we all in different aspects are waiter for a savior.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends, obviously. When we talk generally, if we talk about the Christian community, they are the waiters of the Jesus Christ, alayhi salam, the Prophet Jesus. And obviously, we are the waiters of the last Savior, who is Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. And even if I talk about the enemies of Islam and the Christian community, they have Antichrist.
Okay.
It is generally referred to the Jews waiting for an Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
which is known as Dajjal in the Arabic terminology.
Yes.
So everyone is waiting for a savior, but it depends who is waiting for which kind of savior.
That's right.
And that is important because when we talk about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, obviously he is the one who has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the one who's going to develop the a governance which will be run on the grounds of the justice,
mm-hmm.
and that is the ultimate goal of a society to reach, and that will be provided by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam,
right.
According to the narrations that we have.
Okay.
And also narrations tells us that the Jesus Christ, the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, will also accompany him, and he will become one of his companions.
Okay.
So basically, generally, the whole world will become Muslim or the followers of Imam Mahdi.
Okay.
So with the characteristics that are said in the narrations in regards to the which are related to Imam Mahdi, we need to know that everyone is waiting for such a savior with such characteristics.
That's right.
And that is Imam Mahdi. So everyone can become the waiter or muntadiran of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm. But mere waiting is not...
Yes, obviously, there are conditions, obviously.
Yes.
There are different aspects to look at. For example, you know, when we talk about a waiter, generally we give this example that if someone is waiting for a guest at home, and if it's like the guest is coming at the dinner time, so generally we clean the house, we wear good clothes.
Yes.
Or maybe
prepare
the food.
That's right.
And getting everything ready.
Yeah.
And its place. Obviously, if there's a drying room, so that has been cleaned and set and everything.
Sometimes
is on its place.
Cleaner than our own house on the ordinary lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, for the guests.
So basically, for this guest who is coming for the dinner, the food is prepared, the house is cleaned, and everything is being ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
And once he comes, we are absolutely ready to basically receive him.
That's right.
And to give him the reception.
Okay.
Same is the case with the Imam Mahdi. When we are talking about Imam Mahdi, when we talk about the government of justice, when we talk about the justice in the world and the best society, so it means that we need to obviously struggle in the same path.
Yes.
We need to basically clean ourselves, which is tazkiyatun nafs in Arabic.
Yes.
Because this is very important, that if we do not clean ourselves, if we do not purify ourselves, we cannot have a purified society out there.
Yes.
So there are different things that we need to do.
Thank you very much, Said Mosa. We'll get to our duties and responsibilities in details. But now, a question for you, Brother Ali Alavian, and also the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, tackled this very important issue that before the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, we can say some people might say that, okay, the Imam will come, and he will
fix everything.
Yeah, fix everything, get everything on the right track. So what's our duty? What's our responsibility? Let's enjoy our life. He will do his responsibility, okay?
Yeah.
Is this the case of waiting for a last savior?
Actually, it is not. Mm-hmm. The answer is that the time before the arrival of the last savior, as I said earlier, we need to prepare ourselves for this great event to come, for this important figure, for this holy and divine entity to come. Then we need to prepare ourselves. What does this? What do these preparations mean? Actually, it is not the time of comfort and convenience to stay somewhere and say, "Okay, Imam will come and do whatever he thinks, whatever deems necessary."
Living endeavors and following a solitary life. This is what.
Some say that even the Islamic government is not needed to be built before the arrival of the Imam.
Okay.
I think it is a great mistake that some may commit, and it is even against the basics of and principles of Islam. While Islam wants us to be in an orderly society,
that's right.
So we need to do our best to create a sample society, and so that the others know Imam is going to come and actually touch which kind of society,
right.
And actually assign it as a sample to make it better, to bring it to present it and expose it to the whole world, and to say that this is what we want to actually improve. This is the beginning model that we need to work on it, and to say so. Islam is not against order. It's not against order in our personal and in society,
because
in personal aspect and society.
The best models and the best role models have been given to us before Imam al-Mahdi. I mean, Prophet Muhammad and the other infallible imams before that, the lifestyles, the seerah, the conducts, you know, have been a nice model for us in order to be followed.
Very true.
But the case is that if you are not following them before Imam al-Mahdi, so what we can do? Waiting for another imam to come and then
This
is not true.
Very true. You are right.
Okay.
This concept of helping the poor, helping the needy, helping those who are under oppression, this is what we have learned from the behavior and from the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt themselves. So Imam of the Ahlul Bayt who is going to come, he will do the same in future. So we need to practice it at the time that he is not among us.
Yes.
So that when he comes, others know which kind of Imam is going to rule the whole universe. So this time, unlike the understanding of some,
and is
not
really
the time
gonna
of
rule
conflict.
The whole universe, I mean?
Definitely, he will.
I mean, we are waiting for him to rule the whole universe for us. And is he a ruler?
Actually, ruler not in the sense, in that negative sense that we might have in mind like other rulers of the world, but the ruler of justice. Changes the path.
He's basically authority, hujjah.
He'll change the path that actually was current in the whole world, that a new concept of rulership will come to the whole world, and people will taste the beauty of justice among themselves, whether they in the West or in the East. So by ruler, this was a good question that you asked, I think, a good point. By rulership, it does not actually mean the kind of negative concept that we have in mind from the rulers of the time or the rulers in the past.
Yeah.
No, this ruler actually is going to let the whole ummah, the whole world, the whole universe, to find another way of living in prosperity under the shadow of uniqueness of God, under the shadow of the divine leaders So this concept will come to people and people will find it really interesting and beautiful.
And this interesting topic has attracted Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, many people from different denominations, we can say, in addition to Shia Islam. We know that, as you said, the concept of, we can say, this awaiting exists in many denominational thoughts and ideologies all across the world, in Judaism, in, we can say, Christianity. And this has made a dialogue, established a beautiful dialogue between the Shia Islam, I mean, Isna'i Shari Shia Islam, 12 Shias, and the other ones. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Brother Ali Alevian for your presence in the program. Viewpoints and analysis on the speeches of the leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, regarding the true the responsibilities of the waiters or the followers of Imam al-Mahdi. It was very kind of you.
Thanks, sir.
We express again our congratulations on the blessed and auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. This was Viewpoints you're listening to. You can visit the website of our radio at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam. Also a YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Can I find you, my master, in the unknown? When you're not here, I feel so lost, I feel alone. Calling your name with a broken heart, come to my So many nights, so many days for you, my friend. I know, my master, that I have many times strayed. I forgot you, I have hurt you.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, we discussed the escape of Abul Hassan Bani Sadr, the first Iranian president, from the country, and the election of Muhammad Ali Rajai. Today we are going to dwell upon the very short period of Rajai's presidency, which ended in his martyrdom by MKO terrorists. Stay tuned, please. After the dismissal of Abul Hassan Bani Sadr and his escape from the country, the second round of presidential elections were held in Iran in mid-summer 1981. Thus, Muhammad Ali Rajai was elected as the second president of the Islamic Republic of Iran with 13 million out of 14.7 million votes. A few days after the elections, Rajai was endorsed as president by Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. In his edict of endorsement, Imam Khomeini had recommended Rajai to be loyal to his covenant with God. not to fear the reproaches of ill-wishers, and to devote himself to the service of downtrodden masses. During the ceremony, Rajoy promised to put into effect the demands of the people. Muhammad Ali Rajoy was an honest lover of Imam Khomeini and the people. He would humbly boast of having spent part of his life as a peddler. This way, he announced that he was quite familiar with the suffering of the poor and the needy. He had worked as a teacher for years and had also been tortured in the dungeons of the Pahlavi regime. One day after the endorsement of his presidency by Imam Khomeini, Rajoy swore at the parliament and soon he introduced Mohammad Javad Bahonar as his prime minister. Within a few days, his cabinet was approved by the MPs and he started his work in early August 1981. One day, Rajoy asked Haj Ahmad if he could meet Imam Khomeini's wife for condolences on the demise of her son-in-law. Having got the permission, Rajoy went to Imam Khomeini's house and Ms. Saghafi came to him. Muhammad Ali Rajoy told her, "Condolences on passing away of Ayatollah Ishraqi. I ask you to pray for me not to be deceived by power. I have pleaded God for martyrdom." Imam Khomeini's wife told him, "I congratulate this responsibility to you and always pray for officials to serve the people well." The whole period of Rajoy's presidency was less than 1 month. He was martyred while he was in a session with Prime Minister Muhammad Javad Bahonar at the Prime Minister's building. These two old friends were martyred through a bomb blast that had been placed in a tape recorder to record the negotiations. The plot was carried out by Masoud Kashmiri, who was a member of the MKO terrorist outfit, but had been known as a sincere follower of Imam Khomeini and lover of the revolution and people. Amazingly, on the day of the funeral of the president and the premier, there was a coffin containing some ashes. It was said that the ashes belonged to Kashmiri, whereas he had exited the room of the session as soon as he had placed the record player and fled the country. Kashmiri had successfully deceived many officials through deceptive conduct. He would even adopt stances against the MKO terrorist grouplet in his talks with various officials. Imam Khomeini's wife, after hearing of Kashmiri's behavior and personality, had said, "Although we shouldn't be deceived by the appearance of people, this appearance shouldn't make us suspicious of everyone. I have a criterion here. If a person is more Catholic than the Pope, I become suspicious of him." Muhammad Ali Rajoy's martyrdom was a very sad event in the history of the Islamic Revolution, as he was the symbol of rationality, devotedness, commitment, sincerity, and simplicity. Imam Khomeini described him, "Mr. Rajoy was a man who had been a peddler, but this spirit was not impacted through the period of working as a peddler till presidency. It was not the chairmanship which had affected Rajoy and Bahonar, rather, they had affected chairmanship." In reaction to Bani Sadr's stance, who had called Rajoy as devoid of specialty and unqualified for premiership, the Imam had said, "Rajoy's reasoning is superior to his knowledge." Ayatollah Khamenei described Rajoy as an independent person who loved people and was a pain in the neck for liberalist and counter-revolution forces. Although the martyrdom of Muhammad Ali Rajai and Muhammad Javad Bahonar was a shock to the people, within a month after this sad event, the third round of presidential elections was held in the country and Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was elected as president with 95% of the votes. Dear listeners, we will continue the discussion in the next episode.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The month of Ramadan is very closely linked to the Quran. In the ayat which have been revealed about fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says fast during this month, the month of Ramadan, He introduces this month by saying, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the month where the Quran was revealed. Of course, you know, I don't want to go into the details of the forms of revelation. There were two types of revelation. One was gradual, which started with the day of Mab'as, which is in Rajab, in the 40th year of the Prophet's life, and gradually continued till about 22 years till the wafat of the Prophet. But then there was a special honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give to the Prophet, that once in a year in the month of Ramadan, in Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal the entire Quran on the heart of the Prophet. That was not the nuzul for tabligh. It was not, you know, to proclaim the Quran. That came gradually in 22 years. And so when it says that this is the month where the Quran was revealed, this is about this special, relationship of the Lord with His Mahbub, the most beloved of His messengers, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a difference between inzal and tanzil of the Quran. There are two different words used for these two kinds of revelation. However, that has created this very good tradition among the Muslims that they pay attention to the Quran during this month in different forms. And one of the reasons why we have Quran, into 30 ajza, juz or para, as we say in Urdu, that's not a religious issue. That's actually a bid'ah. But I will say it's bid'ah hasana. These Wahhabis who go after every bid'ah, they forget what they do themselves when they print the Quran. This issue of 20 or 30 juz of the Quran, this is actually physically dividing a Quran equally into 30 parts. Why do we do that? Just to facilitate recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Every night or day, or within the 24 hours, you recite one juz. Of course, in Toronto, mostly we have 29 days of Ramadan. We don't go for 30. So you have to expedite your recitation. But the idea is that during the month of Ramadan, you get to read the Quran more than what you might be reciting at other months. And it has a religious background to it. This ayat of Quran, which says the month of Ramadan is the month where Quran was revealed. And then we have a statement from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he beautifully puts that, he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٌ. Everything has its own spring season. So in our seasons, you know, calendars, spring is considered to be the best one. And so the Imam says, everything has a spring season to itself. وَرَبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. And the spring season for the Quran is the month of Ramadan, because it is recited more than other months. And if you remember the statement that we had from the khutbah of the Prophet last Friday, where he says that if you recite one ayat of the Quran in the month of Ramadan, the reward in the month of Ramadan would be as if you recited the entire Quran. So you can multiply that, you know, you have 6,000 something, you know, ayat. You know, multiply that by the Quran that you have read during the month of Ramadan. And this beautiful translation, that this beautiful tradition that we have, sometimes we do not appreciate what we have. If you study the history of religions, especially those who came before us, you will see there are certain religions, even revealed religions, when you look at their holy scriptures, some of them you will realize are not the original ones. Because in the language in which it was revealed, it was lost. What they have now, the earliest version of that, are actually the translations done during those times. So they don't have the original one, they have the translations also, only. When we look at this tradition that Muslims all over the world, you know, they sit down and recite the Quran, not only in their own languages, but in Arabic. And this is where we come to realize that this is one way of making sure that the original language of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserved for every generation. So sometimes, you know, we say, well, you know, what is the benefit of reading it? We do not realize that when this tradition is there among Muslims to recite the Quran in Arabic, even though they might not understand it, is to ensure that the original language of the scripture is preserved. Another amazing thing I would say is that, you know, I think it is only the Quran which has that honor among all the books around the world, especially the scriptures of different religions, is that you have millions and millions of Muslims around the world who read the Quran, although majority of them don't know Arabic at all. The amazing thing is that Muslims learn from childhood how to read the Arabic Quran, but they don't know the language. You know, this is itself something amazing. But then we have to move beyond that. It is not only reading the Quran. Reciting the Quran is just the first step. That's where we get closer to the book. The purpose is to be in touch with the book, to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to realize that Quran is talking to you. And this is where you will need to study the translation if you're not an Arab. Well, even if you're an Arab, doesn't mean you understand everything in the Quran. No insult to any Arabs here. I'm just saying that, you know, understanding the Quran is a science by itself, you know. So this is where you have to realize that, you know, otherwise you have people. There was a fellow who did the tafsir. He says, see, the Quran says, وَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ, this and that, including لَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. It says the flesh of swine. Who said the fat of swine is haram? This is when you just go with the language without understanding the whole context and the, you know, background of the Islamic teachings. Anyway, the point is that reading the Quran itself is just a step so that we get closer to the Quran and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the ayat, it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, do this. Or when the mu'mineen are being praised, normally on a subconscious level, what do? We say, okay, Allah is talking to mu'mineen. In our mind, mu'mineen is a group out there. What we do not realize that this ayat is talking to you. Take it as a personal statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you as a member of the community of mu'mineen. Then you will see that the reading of Quran will make a different, you know, sense to you, that Quran is talking to you. And so talawat is just first step where the importance of understanding the message of the Quran is there.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at traits in the Quran, human traits in the Quran that you and I need to attain and practice, obviously, because attaining something without practicing it is meaningless. One of these concepts, or one of these traits that Allah wants me and you to have is, in fact, sabr, patience. And patience, obviously, it is not easy. As-sabirin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers them, He gives them a category in the Quran. And even the Day of Judgment says, Allah will make a call, where are the sabirin? And they rise up, like, okay, enter heaven. You guys done your job. You are so patient. So to be patient to me and to be among the patience, among the sabirin, is not an easy task, mind you. But it is an essential part of the believer's system. A believer who does not have patience in his system, then his iman is naqas, his iman is short. As the A'immah say, it's like a head to the body. A body without a head is useless. So is an iman without sabr, without patience. We looked at the verse 200 of chapter Ali Imran, where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu isbiru. All you who believe, be patient. One of the key points in this verse where Allah says, Isburu wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullah, is the importance of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your reactions, in your interactions with people, the fear of Allah, Allah has to be constant in your system when you want to talk back, when you want to fight back. It has to be done through Allah. So this is seen as a mean to success because Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ at the end of the ayah. As it reflects a deep reverence and respect for the Creator and His laws. So Allah says, if you want to retaliate, first express or first exercise patience, maintain the laws of Allah, and look at the laws of Allah. What am I supposed to do in this case? Someone curses me. Someone says something bad to me. Someone takes something from me. How should I approach the situation? Don't just let impulses take hold of you. Rather, look at Allah and say, what would Allah want me to do in this case? And then act accordingly. So patience, then the fear of Allah. Allah says, if you do so, then success will be yours. By following Allah's guidance and remaining committed to His commands and to His commandments, believers are seen as more likely to achieve success in this life and in the hereafter. If patience is exercised correctly with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to this, the verse itself, verse 200 of chapter 3 of Ali Imran, emphasizes the need for believers to remain stationed, wasbiru